Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
Hello. Are we having this issue? Can anybody hear me? I know, he says. Okay, so you can hear me. Terry, I don't hear you speaking. Anyway, this evening we have a couple of guests, and they are from the paranormal, a paranormal company. Hang on, I got to get back to my thing here. And let's see. Oops. Now my computer is acting up. I just got bumped out of the box. What the heck's going on? Okay, so it's the Oakmont Paranormal Company. And it's, I believe, Drake and his cohort, Barbara, and they are out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, obviously. So we're going to be talking to them in a few minutes as soon as we can figure out how to make everybody be in the same place at the same time. I'm not hearing them either, so I'm hoping that Terry is frantically working behind the scenes.
Oh, there we go.
Ah, hi.
Hey, I was flipping switches and it wasn't happening. Pushing buttons here and it's lagging on me.
My chat room keeps popping in and out, so like as soon as I have all the information in the chat room, but as soon as I started to scroll down to look for it, it disappeared and I had to reboot it.
No, it's okay. So, let's go ahead and just start this whole thing over again. So, good afternoon, or welcome, or good evening, or good grief. Let's start that one more time.
Okay.
That way, when this plays out on the archives, we can edit this part out. So, Welcome, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Tower, and this is the Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. And Robin, are you with me?
Mm-hmm. Hey. Yes, indeed I am.
All right. So, wow, we're having some fun tonight. So, anyway, so we're going to be joined tonight by a couple of guests with the Oakmont Paranormal Society. And they're going to talk a little bit about who they are, what they do, and then a fundraiser they've got coming up this month, which is pretty exciting, you know, people reaching out and helping in the community. So I'm kind of excited about this show tonight.
Me too. I actually am really curious to talk to them and excited because, you know, I have always seen ghosts my whole life. So this is like one of my favorite topics.
Well, excellent. Well, let's go ahead and bring our guests on. We've got Drake Bowen and Barbara Wagner. Guys, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
Hi, Drake.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara. So whoever wants to go first, I'm not quite sure which of you guys is the lead spokesperson.
Okay.
So who wants to go first and tell us a little bit about the Oakmont Paranormal Society?
Oh, I can do that, Terry. What it is we are a bunch of paranormal researchers, and we like to think that we do or differ ourselves from other paranormal groups because one of the things we like to do is actually research. And we're more or less looking for answers to why people stay on this realm instead of crossing over to the Summerlands or Heaven or where have you. But we formed a team way back in July of 2011. My ex-girlfriend and I were watching television one night, watching one of the national teams, and we saw some things that we didn't agree with. She looked at me and said, you know, we could do this better than they can. And I more or less took the ball and ran with it. To this day, we have over 65 investigations under our belts. We've done a lot of research throughout the different investigations that we've been in. We've also helped several different families in the greater Pittsburgh area who've had, shall we say, not your normal run of entities within their homes. But one of the core things that we did find, one of the core things that we did create the team for was to be able to give back to the public in some means or another. And we were given that option, the opportunity, that is, in 2011, the latter part of it, by getting in touch with the Carnegie Library of Homestead. And it's one of the older older libraries, that is, in the greater Pittsburgh area. It dates back to the late 1800s. And it's also smack dab in the middle of a very, well, almost world-renowned battle between steelworkers and the Carnegie Steel Company that was here at that time. But we can, you know, of course, that's one of our main goals is to raise the money, and we've had the pleasure to do that for the past 4 years.
Okay. So is this a public library or privately held? Is it, you know, Linden Library? What about, tell us more about the library itself.
Well, yes, it is. It was one of the first six that Andrew Carnegie ever built. He actually started the plans for it in the late 1880s, but he was having a lot of arguments with the steel unions back then, and more or less kind of like a wayward father decided to punish them by not building it until after the Homestead Steel Strike occurred. but it is open to the public, and it is one of the very first in the country. It houses, it's rather unique. It actually houses a library, a gymnasium, a swimming pool, and a music hall, all within the same facility.
Cool.
It definitely is one of the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what it is every October, for the past 3 years, and this year included, we open it to the general public at about 7 o'clock in the evening. Participants are not just taking a tour of the building. What we've been able to do is we've been able to pull various paranormal teams throughout Western Pennsylvania and Eastern Ohio together to come down. And what we do is we take the patrons to the four hottest areas of activity within the building and let them actually take part in the investigation itself.
Okay. Very cool. So how are you raising money here?
Well, it is $15 per person to come take these tours, unless you're doing the midnight tour. So that's going to be $25 for the midnight tour, because you receive 2 hours of time in the plus one additional area instead of just 1 hour during the tour.
Actually, there's a couple different other, a couple other areas that we do get a chance to investigate too, throughout the 2 hour tour. And actually, when we first started doing it, we actually had an auction on eBay, and we were able to.
Okay, Drake.
Yes, sir.
Drake, I'm gonna ask you to hold on just a minute. Could I get you to? It sounds like your computer is also playing the show. And I'm picking up a really bad echo.
Ah, okay. Let me see here.
Well, that's a lot better, whatever you just did.
I closed my computer. It's not online, but I just closed it up.
That's amazing. That is wonderful. I can hear you perfectly well now. So please, you were talking about the options, but I couldn't understand you very well. So if you could start over and talk about the options that people have.
Well, we did it one time just to see, it more or less as a trial, trial and error thing. But it actually worked in our favor. We were able to bring in approximately, Barbara's going to have to correct me on this, I believe it was about $350. For one person to spend an additional 2 hours with us, we were able to get, she actually spent an additional 4 hours with us, the winner did.
Oh, wow.
But all told, I think up to date, we've raised them, I believe, approximately $9,500. And for the library itself and its various programs.
Nice.
At first, the first year we did it, it was done to help them with the renovation of the swimming pool. And after that, it went to help develop a children's computer lab. And then last year's funds were just to help it operate.
Okay.
All right, so how does someone get in touch with you guys or participate if they would like to come over and be involved with the fundraiser?
Well, as of right now, we have plenty of paranormal teams as far as staff, but if somebody wishes to take part in it, they can always call the library. The tickets actually will be starting to go on sale Monday morning at 10 a.m. Pittsburgh time.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, and so you go buy the tickets at the library.
Yes, sir. You can. What people can do, yeah, they can actually call the library. I don't know if you want me to. That is, give you guys the phone number, which I can certainly do. Okay, the number, of course, is 4. I'm sorry, Terry.
Yeah, I was going to say absolutely. Go ahead, please.
Okay, the number is area code 412-462-3444, and they can just follow the prompts and talk to the librarians starting at 10 a.m. on Monday. However, I do know that the midnight tours are limited to 20 people, so it's a first-come, first-served basis, and I know there's at least 6 people already who are interested for Friday and at least 8 for Saturday. It's become quite a very big thing here in Pittsburgh.
Drake, there's a question
yes.
in the chat room. Ruthie is asking, how many investigators will there be to help with the tours?
Friday night, I believe we have about 20, maybe 25. Saturday, on the other hand, is a whole other ball game. We have almost 30 of us that will be there.
Nice. Cool. Well, Ruthie, I hope that answers your question.
All right. How many members do you have in the entire group, in the Paranormal Society, the Oakmont Paranormal Society?
Well, on our team alone, we actually have about 10 individuals who are active on the team at the moment. However, on our rosters, we have 25. And a lot of them are just former members who just don't have the time to come out with us anymore. But we still extend an invitation to them to join us in some of the more well-known or renowned investigation sites we go to.
All right.
So where are some of the places that you guys have done investigations that have really been active?
Ooh, boy. well, on the nationally known list, I personally investigated a couple stores down on Bourbon Street. But it's been about 6 years, so I can't recall those. But that wasn't when I had the team either. I've been investigating for almost 14 years. However, we have done the Moundsville State Penitentiary down in Moundsville, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
We've investigated the Hillview Manor in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Of course, the Carnegie Library at Homestead.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to go there a lot. but we've also, one of our biggest that we've done recently, we did the Ohio State Reformatory in the center of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a definite eye-opening experience for me.
Yeah, that's one of those really, really active sites that everybody's heard about.
Yeah.
Well, we have also investigated one school down in West Virginia.
In that one in Moundsville, yes, the Stanford School. That is true. It's about a mile away from the Moundsville prison itself. We've also done more locally. We've done some of the more well-renowned areas aside from Newcastle. We've investigated the Bushy Run battlefield,
mm-hmm.
which was a site of an attack during the Pontiac's Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
We've also investigated Fort Hannistown in Westmoreland County, which was a site of a last-ditch effort by the British during the Revolutionary War, that is, in which they massacred the entire settlement. And we've also, you didn't hear it from me, but we've been to the Quaker Church Cemetery down in Perryopolis, PA, which we didn't know at the time was private property. But we did get some good stuff there, and we try to shy away from trespassing.
Well, yeah, of course. So I want to just revisit for a second a little bit about the fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
because we were kind of having a little bit of trouble hearing you at that point since you were having that echo thing. So you were talking about buying tickets, but I think somewhere I missed, and I hope that our listeners didn't, so that's why I'm re-asking, I missed the were you raffling something off for the fundraiser that they're buying tickets for? What I know that I know you're giving a tour, but was there anything additional to the tour?
Well, when we did try we did an auction when we first did the tours, and that was run by the library itself, and we haven't done it since. I'm not sure if the library just, because it is a very busy building, they just haven't had the time to do it or not.
Yeah.
But
okay.
With the two-hour tours, we do open up a couple other areas that normally we don't investigate during the first hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's just what I was curious about. And the other thing was, when you do the tours, where are they? Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. So where are they? Are they tours of the library, or do you do the entire town, or?
No, it is specifically just the building.
Okay.
But,
yeah, I'm sorry. I missed that because I really had trouble hearing you, and I'm afraid that some of our listeners might have too, so that's why I'm having you repeat that. So I apologize.
Oh, no, that's quite all right. Quite all right.
Just want to make sure people, you know, get the info that we would like them to have. So.
Well, that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
Yes, one of the interesting facts about the library is that when Andrew Carnegie broke the ground in April of 1896, he knowingly cut into one of the biggest Native American burial mounds within the Western Pennsylvania region.
Oh.
And we don't know where the bodies are. We can only surmise that he took them to the Carnegie Science of Natural Carnegie Museum of Natural History. But we do feel that that may be a part of the reason why we have so much activity at the library.
Cool. So tell us some of the.
I was going to ask one more question. I'm sorry, Robin. I didn't mean to cut you off. Now, I was going to ask, what kind of activity does a person coming up for the tour should they expect to see? I mean, what would I see if I came over there?
Well, let me tell you, spirits are not trained monkeys. You cannot just ask them to come out and they will be there for your entertainment. So, unfortunately, we cannot guarantee any evidence that night, but we usually have a lot. We've had experiences with the full-body apparition of a steel worker walking through the room. We also have a picture of who we believe is Annie Stotler, who was the first swimming teacher. The first woman swimming teacher at the library in their pool area. We have a full apparition of her picture.
One of the other encounters we've had, a team whose name I can't really mention was there on one of the national teams, and they made a claim about a book. And we actually got the book that they had claimed had activity, but we watched the book. We had witnesses watch the book being pushed by an unseen hand back into place on the shelf.
Wow. That's so cool. I love
very
that
cool.
Kind of
stuff. Now, Robin, you got another question.
I was just going to ask them what some of the most impressive paranormal activity has been that they have witnessed, and how it has made them or affected them to rethink their concept of the afterlife, as it were?
Well, I think I'm going to jump the gun on this. I was going to let my wife answer first, but my answer has to be I lost my mother back in February this year. Mm-hmm. And 2 months later, we were investigating the Ohio State Reformatory.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of broke one of the team rules myself, and I took a SB7 ghost box by myself and went to another room, and I started to call out to my mother and called her by name, and all you heard over the ghost box was Drake. Cut it out, which kind of ratified that it indeed was my mother, because her very last words to me just so happened to be that I was visiting her in hospice, and she had stopped breathing. I had put my hands on her jugular to check her for a pulse, and she said, "Drake, cut it out." So that kind of ratified a few different things to me. And one of the greatest things that I think that we've been able to accomplish and repeatedly accomplish is that we've been able, especially through Barbara, we've been able to help entities cross over that may somehow be trapped on this realm.
Mm-hmm.
And it never fails to brighten my night or just put a smile on my face knowing that we were able to help not only the deceased move over to the next life or to the next realm, but the homeowners or business owners as well that we've encountered.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk more about that after the break. We've got about 5 minutes until the break. And I do want to talk about some of the you mentioned earlier. But just for the next couple of minutes, could you give us some highlights of some of the other things that you guys have seen? Some of the more spectacular kind of stuff, you know. Tell us.
Well, okay. We happen to be, and I'm not sure because I would probably get into trouble with my wife if I were to brag on the one story that I think has to be the funniest. But I'm going to do it anyway, and I'll suffer her wrath later. We were at a location that's simply called the Stagecoach Inn in Ohio. It happens to be a stagecoach stop that was a part of the Underground Railroad. And they were known to hide slaves there, but there was a slave who had been tortured and executed on property for allegedly having a extramarital affair with a white woman during the latter part of the Civil War. And we'd made some contact with him through the ghost box in one room of the building, and we headed across the hallway to the other side, to the other side of the building. And we attempted to, there was a Bible sitting in the room that supposedly gets moved around from place to place to place if you take it off of the mantle. So I had turned on my EMF meter and was trying to make sure whether or not it was actually functioning. And I called Barbara over the phone. She put the phone up to her ear and kind of jokingly said, "Hello, who is it?" All I could really hear was a male's voice say something over the phone that wasn't me, and she kind of jumped a little bit and just repeatedly pushed on the button to hang up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked her what happened, she says the only thing it said was spirit. So we kind of pick on her about that. But that's the other one is down at the Moundsville State Penitentiary. We were there for a public investigation probably about 3 years ago. And there were some kids making some loud, rowdy noises down below us on the first level. And I was pretty irate about it because we were there to actually gather evidence and gather data. And we had just placed a trail camera on one side of the prison. We were walking back to the break room, and I yelled at them, at these kids, and told them to be quiet. And something just gave me an idea to turn and shoot my camera down the one gangway outside of a cell block. When we got home, I was able to put it onto my computer, and it looks like there was a 6-foot-tall man standing down at the other end. He's completely in shadow. And we ran it through the filters that we use to identify whether something is or is not paranormal, and it still, to this day, remains. And I sent it down to the prison so they could see it. And one of my friends who works at the prison has told me that I'm probably the second or third person in a 10-year period to capture that guy on camera.
Ah, interesting.
All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break. In keeping with the theme of the evening, I'm going to play a song called Summerland by Emerald Rose. Everybody stick around, and we'll be back right after this.
They say the road to heaven is straight and narrow, and they say the road to hell is smooth and wide. Well, the path that I follow, it may be long and winding, but it surely leads to the other side. Well, I walk amid the shadows and the path of life, and I've seen my seven rebel grand Celtic wars. I've traced the sacred spiral of the mystery flight to the final. Yeah.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
And welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. And Robin, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. I'm sitting right here.
All right. Now, let's go ahead and bring our guests. We've got Drake Bowen and Barbara Wagner. Let's go ahead and bring them back on. Barbara, Drake, are you guys with us?
Hi, Terry. We're still here.
Hello.
All right. And hi. Okay, so good. Everybody's here. I'm struggling a little bit with the board tonight. I'm trying to lead the lag that I'm getting tonight. So before the break, you had said something about helping spirits cross over, and you had also said something at the beginning about spirits being trapped and why they didn't move on. So I thought maybe we would start with that question about why do they not move on, what keeps them here, and what has your investigation led you to, and detective work, what have you found out?
Well, there are various reasons, Terry. A lot of people feel like they have unfinished business, of course, but one of the things that we found out, and this, of course, is theory, that when a person passes on, they are still who they are. So if they were a mean-spirited person as alive with their body, they're going to be a mean-spirited person on the other side, so some of them are afraid to face judgment.
It depends on, of course, the person's spiritual beliefs before they cross over.
Mm-hmm.
What I think my wife is trying to say is that Ebenezer Scrooge, if he was a devout Christian, and he realized that before he passed over that he had been pretty mean and nasty, he may elect to try to stay on our realm instead of crossing over to face the judgment of the Christian God.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay. I'm sorry.
I'm going to throw my two cents in here. Since I was little, I've always seen ghosts. I see them frequently.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I have always felt, there seems to be two categories for me of spirits. one category are almost as if they're replaying the last moments of their death, like they don't know they're dead, and they are stuck in that time loop. And they don't generally want to interact with us. They are very focused on continuing to do whatever it is they're doing, almost like hitting replay, like an instant replay. They're trying to work out, it's almost as if they're trying to work out the last moments of their life. The other one are spirits that will interact with people who know they're dead and, as you said, don't want to move on for some reason or another, or seem incapable of it. And what do you, I mean, do you see some validity to what I'm just saying? And how do you account for the difference?
Okay. What you're referring to, there's actually four different classes of entities within our realm. What you're talking about, the main two, are, of course, the residual hauntings, which is pretty much like a famous comedian in one of his later movies, where he's stuck in a time loop just doing the same thing over and over and over and over. It's subject to what's known as the stone tape theory, which basically says that wood and stone can absorb a great amount of energy at a traumatic point in life, and it just keeps repeating it, sort of like a DVD. Well, Gettysburg is a perfect example of a residual haunting. Gettysburg is one of the biggest known cases of residual hauntings. The second kind, we're getting to the other one, is the intelligent haunting. And these entities are the ones who are capable of answering you through EVPs, through knocking on objects or causing things to move, which that actually goes down into the third kind, which are the poltergeist level, which can move things. They make noise by walking across floors. They can open doors and shut them, or like at the library. Exactly. They can cause mischief. But they can also go to a third class of poltergeist, which can actually turn hostile and actually cause harm. And of course, the fourth type of entity is the rarest of them all. And that's, of course, the demonic, where demons are actually involved. But out of 100 cases in any given area, maybe only 2% of them are actual true demonics.
Okay. Now, I've got a question. That first category, the replaying the loop, the playback loop. Now, is that actually a spirit, or is that an imprint of the traumatic event that is replaying, and the spirit may well have moved on?
It's actually a combination of the two, but it does tend to lead more towards the replaying of a traumatic event. A good case in point is, and I'm going to touch back onto Gettysburg, and Lord knows we may have a couple of listeners out there from the Pittsburgh area. There's one gal who just swears up and down that Gettysburg is the absolute best place in the world to investigate. The Jenny Wade House in downtown Gettysburg, of course, everybody knows the story of Jenny. She was baking bread one morning in the kitchen about 8:30 in the morning. And when nobody else was supposed to be in town, they were all told to evacuate. But she had her older sister was at the house pregnant and, of course, couldn't move. But the story is that a Texas sharpshooter or sniper had been using Jenny's front door handle to sight in his rifle that morning. And his first shot missed, penetrated through the door, struck her in the breast, and, of course, killed her. But it's widely reported that if you go to Gettysburg to her house at about 8:30 in the morning, you can watch as Jenny stands there working at the sink and then clasps her chest and falls to the floor. So I would definitely say a residual haunting isn't really an actual activity itself, I would say it's, as you said, Terry, more or less just like a time loop, like a repetitive point in time, sort of like a fixed point.
The event itself is imprinted on the surroundings.
Exactly.
And that spirit has probably gone ahead and moved on, but the imprint of the event is replaying over and over.
Yes, but in Jenny's case, from what we understand, we haven't had the chance to investigate out there yet as a team. But it is rumored that Jenny does appear in other places throughout the building and does interact with things.
Oh, okay. So there's the imprint as well as an intelligent.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there's a couple of questions in the chat room, and they don't exactly segue with what we've been talking about, but I do want to get the listener questions in here. One question is, what place would you like to go back and reinvestigate?
Honey?
Wow. I would say I would like to go back to Moundsville.
Definitely. I would agree that Moundsville would be one, but if I had my choice between Moundsville and Ohio State Reformatory, I would go definitely for Ohio State. The activity that we witnessed there that night compared to what we witnessed at Moundsville was just almost threefold. Even to the point where I was shoved a good 3 or 4 feet by unseen hands.
Wow. Cool.
Okay. All right, another question in the chat room is, how do you protect yourself when you go into these places, or is there even a need to?
Well, what I'm going to say here before I answer how I do is to anybody in your audience that may be listening that's curious about paranormal research, it does have its dangers. It does very much have dangers, especially not just on the physical, but on the spiritual side. There have been times that we've just been so invigorated to get in and investigate places that we've actually had one of our investigators pull over, scared out of her mind, because she was driving back away from this battlefield we were at, and she heard a horse inside her car. I will definitely tell anybody that goes out investigating, make sure you have some form of protection with you. Now, I'm kind of an oddball when it comes down to this. I am a practicing Wiccan. I work with dragon magic, where my main item of protection is a ring of Saint Benedict that is the patron saint, the Catholic patron saint for ghost hunters. And I've actually gotten a lot of interesting reactions while wearing it. Anytime a hostile entity is in the area that tries to do something to me, my ring will actually start warming up and heating up as the protection goes at work. But other people will anoint themselves with some kind of protection oil. We had an investigator for a while who was actually carrying a rabbit's foot. It just varies. It depends on the person. Whatever you feel that is going to keep you safe and protected from entities is probably your best bet.
Yeah,
what
if you
I
feel
do,
like it's going to protect you, it probably will, yes. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah. Well, what I do is I just basically just ground myself, and I ask my guardians to come in and be with me during that time. So it would be like a prayer that I do to my, as to say, some people say guardian angels or just my guides and guardians, and that seems to help me.
Interesting.
Okay. So I want to return to the questions, the concept of you say you've helped several entities cross over.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to touch on that. We are hurtling toward the top of the hour, so I did want to jump in and get that question in there. Could you tell us a little bit more about how you've helped these spirits to cross over?
Barbara's. It's hard for me to explain because I'm just the pitch hitter, if you will. Barbara had tried to explain it to me one time, and I just said, you know what, honey, just do what you need to do, and I will help. what we found is that when an entity does desire to cross over, 9 times out of 10, they let us know through some means, be it through our psychic, Donna Ferreira, or one thing that seems to happen repeatedly is when Barbara's using her dowsing rods and an entity wants to cross over, they will actually take one of the rods and point at her. Because one thing we have found is that entities know a lot of things right off the bat, even if they don't know you from Adam. And what happens is Barb and I will conduct our investigation, but we promise those entities that we will come back and help them. And we basically stand facing each other, and she more or less opens a portal and lets them cross over into the next realm and then closes the portal right after. So that way nothing comes back through.
Mm-hmm.
Does that pretty much sum it up, honey?
Yes, yes. And what he means is I draw on a lot of his energy to help do this, because otherwise if I don't have somebody helping me energy-wise, I notice I am out like for the next few days just constantly sleeping.
Hmm.
All right, cool. All right, well, guys, tell us one more time, the particulars of the fundraiser, how people get tickets, how much they are, when is it, all of that stuff, and hit us all with it one more time for anybody that joined us late.
Sure. It is going to be at the Carnegie Library of Homestead in Munhall, PA. You can purchase tickets starting this Monday by calling the library, and those who call the library can actually choose what time slot they'll be at. From 7 p.m. until 10:30, it's $15, which gets you just an hour tour with all of our paranormal investigators. And then at the stroke of midnight, we have a special limited space 2-hour investigation for $25 that goes into two or three other additional areas throughout the building where activity does occur. And, of course, anybody that does want to call the library can call them at 412-462-3444 and speak to a librarian. But we are never one to turn down anybody who walks up and says, hey, I'm here, I would like to come in.
Okay.
And also,
and
if I may add, oh, I'm sorry, Terry, go ahead.
I was asking the dates on that.
The dates are the 23rd and 24th of October. But
okay.
This year,
significant for the library?
Not really. More or less, they're significant to the lunar calendar. Because one thing that the paranormal community can agree on is that activity seems to increase as the moon is coming close to being full.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, for some. And we are doing something a little bit interesting this year. Guests on both nights will be able to see two brand new pieces of equipment to the paranormal field itself, one of which has actually been designed and built specifically for our team. And that's it's called a pyramid. And it's basically a what we call an EMF detector, but it has a few extra little things that I really don't want to go into detail because I'd rather save it for a surprise.
All right, fair enough. All right, well, thanks a lot for being with us tonight. And last thing, how does somebody get in touch with you guys? If they want to talk to you about doing an investigation or something like that, how do they find you?
Well, you can one of three different ways. You can call one of us, and of course, my phone number is area code 412-888-6672. You can email us at oakmont.ghosts@gmail.com, or you can even send us a request on Facebook by checking out our team page. Where we do have a lot of our photographic and audio evidence posted, which would be facebook.com/OakmontGhosts without the dot in the middle.
Okay, is that a slash or a backslash? It's just a regular slash, right?
Just a regular slash, yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, it sounds like you were reverting back to our DOS days.
Bad habit. gamer geek, ghost hunter, and former computer programmer here.
Yeah, I heard the backslash and went, oh, flashback. Okay. All right, well, thanks, guys, for being with us. Now, I do want to say to all of our listeners, if you are interested in getting in touch with any of our guests, hosts, if you have show topic ideas, anything you'd like to share with the management of the radio station, you can email us. The email address is surn.org@gmail.com. That's surn.org@gmail.com. Make sure you put something in the subject line that gives us a clue to whom we should direct that email. And let's see. If you want to get in touch with Robin or I, you can email littlestonebridge@gmail.com or check out our Facebook page, Little Stonebridge Pathworkings. And there's also a page for the radio station that is Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Both of those pages are like pages, so click on like, let us know you're around, and that sort of thing. And Robin, how does somebody get in touch with you?
They can find me on the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page or my personal Facebook page, Robin A. McKean.
Right, and you're the only Robin A. McKean on Facebook, apparently. You're unique.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, if you go looking for me on Facebook, you find about 20 people named Terry Power. A lot of you guys all have the same name as me. You have to look for the one that is showing in North Copley, Pennsylvania, or find something that mentions the radio station. I'm the only one involved with Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Check out my public figure page. That is Rev Terry Power HP, or follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. So, again, I want to thank Drake and Barbara for being with us tonight. This is pretty exciting, and let us know how the fundraiser goes.
We sure will, Terry.
And we'll have to put in we'll have to schedule another time to come and get you guys back just to talk about some of your investigations. So if you've got any really cool investigations that you do, let us know about it so that we can bring you back on and share it with our listeners.
We would be more than happy to, Terry.
Excellent. I want to thank all of our listeners for being with us. We had a pretty active chat room tonight, including some of our regulars and some guests that have not been with us before. So I hope that the guests will come back and check out more of our shows. And thanks to all of the listeners that find us through any of the different ways that you can get to us that don't show up in the chat room. We know you're there. And we greatly appreciate you taking time from your day to spend it with us. So, Robin, did you have any final thoughts or anything you'd like to say before we close this puppy?
Oh, I don't know. Just, you know, I'd love to have them come up here someday. I know we have spirits here, on, not only in the house but on the land, and it might be interesting. But other than that, just the normal thank you for everybody coming, as always, and we'll see you next time.
All right, and with that, I will wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everybody, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Blessed be. Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.